just want to welcome our guest this morning who's visiting with us. God bless you. Good morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. This morning I'll be sharing out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. I believe through verse 18. The life of the Apostle Paul, the struggles he went through, the difficulties he encountered because of Christ Jesus, his Savior, because of the message of the cross. I always get encouraged when I read his writings to the church. Because sometimes in our own personal lives, we go through circumstances and difficulties. And sometimes in our own doing, and sometimes other people around us can affect us that way. And the Apostle Paul, he wrote the first letter to the Corinthians, to the church, because there was some false teaching being stored up within the church. They claimed that Paul to be freckle, proud, unimpressive in appearance and speech. They even said Paul was dishonest and unqualified. Upon his return, he rejoiced when he heard the Corinthians was dealing and coming to the faith in Christ. I believe he sent Titus there to take care of certain problems that was going on in the church. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul began his letter to the church with, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy," I underlined in my Bible, "we do not lose heart." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word, for your letters to the church, that we can reflect on our own lives, Lord, in our own church today, Father. That we can be encouraged by your word, by your spirit, Lord God, today in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. That we surrender all things to you, Father, mind, body, soul, and spirit, Lord God. That the words of our mouth be pleasing to you this morning, Father, in the hearing of your word, Father God, in our lives, Lord God, that our hearts will rejoice and even be glad as you direct us, Father, this morning. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. When I look at the life of the Apostle Paul and the things he struggled with, the Bible says he was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. And he will say that Christ's life, dying in himself, he will continue in the call that God called him. You see, when we come to the end of our resources, when we have no strength left, when we have no ability left, when we have no love left, when there's nothing left to meet our demands and the needs that we are facing, then we realize that his power, his grace is sufficient and displaying in our weakness. We realize that our dependency is upon God himself. In life itself, in the ministry, that we become physically tired, emotionally tired, and spiritually tired. When we give out and we get depleted, you have nothing to give anymore. The tendency to lose the heart, to give up, to quit, to throw in the towel. And I wonder always how Apostle Paul persevered when he was going through all the stoning in his life, the beatings and the robbing, and being thrown out of synagogues and out of towns. The physical and the spiritual challenge that he faced continuously. And I wonder how can Apostle Paul endure and not lose heart? First, he received God's provision of grace and mercy. Second, he lived to be a pure, to live a holy life. Paul relied on God's power in his weakness. In 2 Corinthians 12:10, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. In Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Never give up, in some translations. Paul is saying to us, never give up. Do not lose heart. He's saying to us today, whatever you're going through, whatever the brokenness of your heart is, don't give up. Don't lose. Paul is an example of God's strength in his life, even in his weakness, in his struggles. He said, don't give up. Don't lose the heart. And this Apostle Paul in verse 2 says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitful, but by manifestation of truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, is not veiled to those who are perishing, who minds that the gods of this age has blinded, who did not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, is it the image of God, should shine on them. He's saying the gospel is not veiled, but if it's veiled, it's veiled to those who do not believe in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself. He's saying the God of this world, the God of this age, Satan, has blinded them. Those who do not believe in the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And Paul says in verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, you are bondservants for Christ Jesus. You see, Christ is the Lord and Christ is God. He's the Lord over our lives and over our situation. We are called bondservants. We are called to serve one another and to serve those outside the church. He is our Lord and He is our Savior. For we do not proclaim ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. Shine the spotlight on Him. Point to Him. Labor to advance His name, His interests, His cause. Remember that we are serving Him. He is Lord and we are servants. In verse 6 it says, for it is God who commands light to shine out of darkness, who shone on our hearts to give us light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. For God who said, let there be light in darkness, He has made this light shine in our hearts so we will know the glory that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. When we were living in darkness, He came and shined His light in our hearts that we may know Christ Jesus, God Himself, and the embodiment of Christ, God Himself. He goes on to say, verse 7, but we have this treasure, this earthly vessel, the excellence of the power may be of God and not in us. He is saying that we have these earthly vessels, these clay vessels, these weak vessels, but the excellence of Christ lives in each one of us. Hallelujah. We now have the light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are fragile like the clay jars containing these great treasures in our lives. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. We are delicate. We are weak. We falter. We're not perfect. But the great light of Christ lives in each of these vessels made out of clay. I remember He is the Master. And when we give our lives to Him, He begins to mold us like the potter molds the clay. He begins to smooth those rough places in our lives, begin to heal those cracks in our heart. He begins to make us into His image, in the image of Christ. He continued to work in us even in our faults, even in our brokenness, in our time in need. The Master is applying His hands to your life as the potter with the clay. And He begins to smooth those rough places in our lives. He begins to heal our hurts. He begins to embrace us in His love and call you my child. I am here with you. Bible says He's have an everlasting love for each one of us. When He looks at us, He don't look one different than the other. He sees us all His children. And He's saying, I love you. I love you. I know what you're going through. We have this great treasure in this jar of clay. Because this house, our bodies are weak. And the Apostle Paul goes on to say in verse 8, we are hard, pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Our weakness reveals His power. When we come to the end, and I said this early to our resources, when we have no more strength left, no more love left, no heart left, no wisdom left, nothing's left, to meet our demands and our needs that we are facing in our workplace, in our homes, in our ministries, in our church, in our community. Then we realize that His power, His grace is sufficient. And His display in our own weakness is our own very weakness that makes us candidate to receive His power. Hallelujah. Paul understood that. In his weakness, he can receive God's power. In the weakness, in this clay, this jar, fragile, we can receive God's power. Paul writes in verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the life of Jesus also being manifested in our bodies. For we, in verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our lives, in our body. This week, I had a young man visit me. He's from South Africa. He does mission work. And he goes to Vietnam and to Asia. And his wife is going to have a baby, and she's from England, and he sent her to England to have their child. And he shared with me that when he's going back home to Africa, he's concerned about the food shortage because the government is selling the food. They're cutting down the trees, selling the trees. And that's one of his concerns. He goes, a young man who dedicated his life like Apostle Paul to reach those beyond the United States. They're going to Laos and Vietnam. And he showed me pictures of his compound. They got trucks that go out to different villages to reach those who are lost to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he invited us to go. He said, do a 2-week short-term mission trip with your church. We have an invitation to join him to go and reach those people in the villages, to go and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has been blessed to have 100 acres of land there in the ministry. Paul paid the price for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I carry the body of Christ dying in me, that the life of Christ may be manifested in me. That's what Paul is saying. I carry his death in me, that his life may be manifested in me. Are we carrying the life, the death, the life of Christ in us? That his life may be manifested in each one of us. That's what Paul is saying. I carry his death, that his life may be manifested in us, that his spirit will live in us. That we can have the image of Christ. Do we carry the death of Christ in us? That we may have the life of Christ manifested in our bodies. For we who live are also delivered to death for Jesus' sake. That the life of Christ may be manifested in our bodies. And verse 11. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 24. He said, I am rejoicing in my suffering. This is Paul's writing. He said, I am rejoicing in my suffering for you. I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of his body and of his church. He said, I am rejoicing in my suffering for you, the church, The affliction that is on my body. For the sake of his body and his church. Of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages, from generation, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God will make known what are the riches of his glory and mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Is Christ in you, the hope of glory? What keeps Apostle Paul from losing his heart? We read that in verse 13. In chapter 4. What keeps us from losing our heart? And since we have the spirit of faith, since we have the spirit of faith, since we have the spirit of faith, keeps us. And it keeps Apostle Paul. For it's written in Psalm 116:10, I believe, therefore I spoke. And we also speak, Apostle Paul says. I believe, in this way we speak in our faith. We share the gospel with those around us. In verse 14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus Christ always will raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. He is saying that when the coming of Christ come, he will raise us up in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and present us with himself to the Father. Hallelujah. What a promise. Because it is the faith in us that keeps us. It is the faith in us that keeps us through our suffering and our struggle. It is the faith in us that keeps the church. For all things are for your sake, that the grace having spread through many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. That in each one of us will abound thanksgiving for the glory of God as we walk this faith, Lord. Each one of us. It's by faith you have been saved, not of yourselves, but it's in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ alone. Hallelujah. Verse 16, therefore, just like in verse 1, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though the outer man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. Paul is saying, even in my suffering, even in all the whippings they gave me, and all the sufferings I went through for the Christ Jesus, my body is deteriorating, but my inner man is stronger and stronger. For our light affliction, in verse 17, which is but a moment, is working for us far more exceedingly the eternal weight of glory. He is saying that our light affliction, what are we going through here on earth? But when we get on the other side, the Bible says no more tears, no more suffering, no more sickness. That's a light affliction. In God's love and eternity. The Bible says all this will pass away. All this will pass away. So we need to be a people looking to eternity. People looking up. The Bible says that where my Redeemer comes from. And the Apostle Paul was warned, physically warned, and emotionally warned. We read that in verses 8 through 12. That he was being renewed every day. His spirit life was being regenerated by the power of God. Our lives can be regenerated by the power of God every day. Our spiritual life. It doesn't matter what's going on in our bodies, but our spiritual lives can be renewed every day in the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. I can see Paul worn and tired, but he's being renewed by the power of God. Oswald Chambers, in his book, My Uttermost for His Highest, writes these words. Our circumstances are means of manifesting how wonderful and perfect, extraordinary, pure the Son of God is. Our circumstances are means of the manifestation how wonderful, perfect, extraordinary, pure the Son of God is. Hallelujah. While we do, in verse 18, we do not look at the things seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Stay strong. In Christ Jesus, let the Spirit of God touch your spirit. Let the Spirit of God renew you in your faith every day. That we can walk this walk that God called upon each one of us to accomplish that race, to receive that crown at the end of our lives. Don't set your eyes on things you see, but set your eyes on things that are unseen. I can imagine Paul's last day when he said, I ran the race. Hallelujah. Mary, when we get there, we say, I ran the race. I completed the call that Christ gave me. I can go home now. Hallelujah. That's an exciting day in our lives. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the world is an unloving world. This morning, my wife got a call that one of the officers in New York City got killed this morning in the Bronx from the 44th precinct. My future son-in-law, that was his partner. So the streets are unforgiving. Imagine what he's going through. Life is short. We need to stay focused, church, on Christ our Savior. I think he was 32 and the man that shot him was 27. So we lost two lives last night because of violence on the street. We need to continue to pray for this nation. God is calling upon you. He's depending upon you to cry out to the heavenlies to turn this nation around. When Christ left, he left 12 disciples to carry the Great Commission. And then from there went on and on. Here we are. We are the ones to carry this burden, this great commission to the world. Each one of us, that's our assignment. To love those who is hard to love. On Thursday evening, I went to Faith House fundraiser, and the speaker said, love is messy. Love is messy. And she said the hardest thing is to love people who are difficult. Those on the street who don't show respect to you even when you try to help them. The addict who you probably dedicate your time. You ever dedicate your time to someone and you try to bring them to the Lord and you work and you work and you work and they still don't come. Love can be messy. I like that. I think I'm going to put that in my wall in the office. Just a reminder. Love can be messy. Hallelujah. But God called us to love, right? Especially to love one another in the church. This week, God has given me an assignment. And I need to walk out this week. That I pray by His Holy Spirit and power. As He sends me, I can touch the lives of those around me. Remember, don't lose heart. Stay the course. Run the race. For a crowd is waiting for you. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word this morning. Do not lose heart. Stay the course. Father, I thank you for the hearing of your word. I ask, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you touch each one of us. Do not lose heart. Stay the course. That the apostle Paul is an example. The life he left. That the dying of Jesus Christ in his own personal life will manifest the life of Christ, the living Christ in each one of us, Lord. I thank you, Father, for this body of Christ here at Hudson Valley Christian Church. I pray that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit and power in these clays of vessels, Lord God, these weak vessels, cracked, none shaped. But you will pour your Spirit upon each one of us. That you will empower us and even in our weakness, Lord. Even in those days that we struggle, Father. I thank you, Lord. I pray a blessing over your people in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. As we live from the place, we don't depart from your presence, O God. That we can rest in peace because the Bible says that you watch over us even as the night watches. We can surrender those things to you, trust in you, Father. That those things that you began in our lives, you will finish it. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. A few announcements. Excuse me.